During your internet browsing or weekly podcast downloading binge, you have stumbled upon Hot Air, the DC Breeze's bi-weekly podcast. My name is Greg Esser, and I am the host of that podcast. The DC Breeze, of course, are an AUDL team playing in the Eastern Division, and at this point in the year, mid-April, we are in full swing for the 2016 season, so much so that a week and a half ago, we hosted the Ottawa Outlaws in the DC Breeze's first game of the year. DC Breeze won that game. They won by 11. Exciting game. 500 or so people in attendance, so super electric atmosphere. All sorts of great things in the 28-17 win over the Outlaws. And looking forward to seeing how the rest of the season will play out. If you can't make games in 2016 for whatever reason, I think the only one that I will excuse you for is being outside of the Washington area, because it is worth coming out to the games at Gallaudet University. You can always catch the Breeze online. Two games this year covered by ESPN3, including the one coming up this next weekend against the Toronto Rush. That game is on the 23rd of April. It is at 6 p.m. Other games that are not covered by ESPN, I will be doing play-by-play during the game on Box TV, Boxcast. It is the Gallaudet streaming system. Those streams are accessible at dcbreeze.tv, a website that we will be streaming all of our games to, so feel free to check us out there. Other things about the Ottawa game that were noteworthy, that live stream, which I'm going to be referring to as Blown Cover, loving the puns, obviously. Glenn Poole was along my side, former teammate on the Breeze of mine, as well as a 2015 player for the Breeze, so Glenn really knows his stuff. Him and I named Markham Schaffner as the MVP for the Breeze. Of those 28 points, there are three of them that he assisted. He scored two of them himself, just with one throwaway throughout the course of the game. He played 22 points, so lots of exciting things for Markham. There were a host of great contributors to the Breeze, though. Alan Kolick had a big game. Nikki Spiva, Jeff Wodach, getting onto the highlight reel. So, good things all over the field for sure. Can't even mention them all here. Come out to a future game at Gallaudet. It's a great show, as I said. This week, I'm going to sit down with Matt Kerrigan to discuss that game, to discuss future games on Hot Air. So stay tuned for the episode as me and Matt will get into it. Last thing before I begin here, I want to quickly thank the DC Breeze 2016 sponsors, Papa John, Pizza, Waveborn Sunglasses, Rose Physical Therapy Group, Big Board, WAFC, Washington Area Frisbee Club, and Oak Creek Apparel. Without further ado, I will throw it over to Brooke Royals to play our entry music. Thanks for tuning in. Welcome to Hot Air. I'm sitting here with Matt Kerrigan, second year player on the DC Breeze, and a joy to have you sitting here with me today, Matt. You wanna welcome any listeners we got today with your special greeting?
Thanks, everybody. Greg, happy to be here. No Breeze puns for you to start the podcast, unfortunately. Hopefully they will come to me later.
Flow.
In the podcast. Flow.
Yeah.
Later.
Great. Well, yeah, so you're already in tune with me on the pun level. So that said, I'm just going to jump right into our ambitious agenda for today. You are my first guest of 2016 where we actually have a game to talk about. Everything's been speculation, and that's exciting because not only was there a game, but you guys won. I believe it was by a spread of 11 against the Ottawa Outlaws. Any thoughts that you have? It was a big win to start off the season on the right foot. It's a team that has played much more competitive games with the Breeze in years past, or at least a year past as a second-year franchise, the Ottawa Outlaws. Any thoughts off the top about how that game went?
Sure. Well, in terms of a season opener, it was a lot better than last year.
I believe it's the first time the DC Breeze have won on opening day in franchise history.
Well, I'm glad we could put a smile on the crowd's face for the first time in 4 years. But yeah, this year it started off really well. The D-line just came out super hot in the first half, really. First quarter, 4-0, and then another 4-break run, I think, in the first quarter. So they really came out, set the stage for the team, for the whole game. So that was really awesome to see. Hopefully a lot more of that in the future.
Yeah, it was exciting. And you said put a smile on the fans' face. We were joined by many fans on that beautiful Sunday. It was like a crisp 55-degree day with a little crosswind, and 500 or so fans joined me up in those stands rooting you guys on the field. But I wanted to talk more about that game while I started that conversation topic. You said you came out hot. Tell me what goes down in that, or what went down in particularly that starting Breeze huddle that you think, you know, come out on the field and win the first 4 points. You know, what was said in that huddle, you know, very, very tactically?
Sure, yeah. I mean, sorry to disappoint anyone, but there was not a lot of yelling, screaming, a lot of animation. But I would say Dutching, the coaching staff, and the captains have been hitting the same points really from the beginning of the season. Hit them again in practice, hit them again in the pregame. You know, really talking about the three pillars, you know, playing with the right amount of confidence, not overconfident, but not being scared to take your shots, take the things you have. Playing with the right amount of intensity, not being too amped, but going out there knowing that Ottawa is going to be a team that's going to compete all the way first through four quarters, and you've got to be prepared for that. And going out there really in the first couple weeks, especially ready to enjoy the challenge. It's not going to be perfect. Things are not going to click, and you have to be ready for that, accept that that's going to be happening, and sort of enjoy that challenge and enjoy measuring yourself against another great team like Ottawa. So those were sort of the three big keys going into the huddle that we sort of rally around as a team. And, well, I don't want to talk too much about outcomes, but right out of the bat, four breaks by the D-line certainly seemed like I got the job done.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's easy to always kind of paint the face on success as saying, hey, what we did must have worked because you see the outcome. But obviously, right after that, Ottawa didn't go to bed right away. They scored three right back, including two breaks of their own. So do you think anything fundamentally changed, or that's just kind of the ebb and flow of a game that you're ready to ride out?
Sure. I think there are always runs in ultimate in any sport. It's just about how balanced can you stay as a team.
There's no running and swimming.
So you got me there.
Yeah. One sport maybe, but all the other ones, I think you're right.
I'm sure we can come up with other exceptions.
Polo, but I mean, who am I?
Yeah, sailing certainly.
But ultimate, there are runs. I buy the premise.
Definitely, definitely runs, and it's all about just staying balanced, trying to really not worry about the score, but going out there. I think one of the captains, maybe it was Nikki in the huddle, the first point is just as important as the 27th point we play, 27th point we score. They all count for the same. So really, just I think Dutchie took that timeout when it was 4-3, refocusing us. Getting us back to our offensive principles, right? We expected that it wouldn't be perfect. Dutchie probably hoped the O-line maybe started a little better than that. But just, going back to our principles, righting the ship, and, the rest of the first quarter was a lot more smooth sailing.
So your role, at least from this very small sample size that we'll talk exhaustively about today because it's the only sample we have of the season, the 2016 season so far, but your role has changed a lot. I mean, last year you were out there for 20-plus points a game. You were expected to be an initiation cut a ton of the time on O-line. You're still playing O-line, but in that entire first game, you were out there for 7 points, 6 of them O-line, so even a little bit of bleeding onto the D-line. You recorded an assist, but last year you were lighting up 2, 3, 4 goals a game. Is that indicative of a role changing for you? And you want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure, yeah. I mean, I think the role changes based on opponent, based on a player availability. It's my job to be ready to step into whatever role the coaching staff asks of me. I know I'm really thrilled just, be stepping on the field with the 20 guys that we have, 27 guys we have. I think it's a really talented roster. It really speaks to sort of the depth of the roster. And being, the third or fourth guy on the O-line there against Ottawa, that just means, having a different role than being the one or being the two. Also know it's a long season, and so there will be a lot of opportunities for potentially different roles depending on game, depending on matchup. I think one of the keys for having a successful ADL regular season is the depth of the team, looking towards Worlds, those Canada trips.
Yeah,
depth is so critical in those as those back-to-backs.
And Worlds, of course, you're saying that the Breeze are carrying 5 guys that are going to be pulled away to go to London in 2016, as well as various training sessions, and that's going to change the depth chart dramatically.
Right, and whether or not I'm the one or I'm the four or I'm inactive, it's still my responsibility to make sure I'm ready to play. And I think the coaching staff does a good job talking about, you know, getting your expectations ready, you know, on that Wednesday night practice. You know, this is what we expect from you. Start getting into that mentality, start getting ready for the game this weekend. So no matter the role, you know, for me, I'm thrilled to be there, looking to build off the team success that we had last year, you know, trying to improve from 7-7.
Yeah. So tell me more than we'll jump to the future. This podcast will probably hit newsstands and or the iTunes store roughly April 19th, I'll say. I think that's a Wednesday or Tuesday or Wednesday maybe. That's 2 or 3 days shy of our next home game, which is against the Toronto Rush. Toronto Rush, been the class of the East for a while. You want to talk to me about kind of your thoughts going into that next big home game?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I know Wednesday night at practice we'll be going through our own sets and then, you know, mocking or sort of, you know, going through the, you know, what Toronto likes to do on offense and how we can prepare defensively for that.
Yeah.
In terms of matching up against the Rush, my first two experiences, you know, they came out with a level of intensity and aggression that I don't think we were necessarily prepared for last year. You know, I think we got down by 6 or more in the first quarters against them both times. Now knowing that that's what they like to do, being ready for that, being ready for their punch. I know with all their guys returning, like Lloyd and Martin from injuries, they'll probably be just as hungry. And I'm sure all the signings and all the talk about the Breeze in the offseason made them hungry to try to sort of reclaim their pole position in the
sure.
East.
Sure, I mean, the Eastern Division champion.
Exactly, and I think we're
the throne.
We're really looking forward to the opportunity to sort of measure ourselves. This is our first, you know, we had our measurement against Ottawa, and now we have a great opportunity to measure against the class of the AUDL so we can take stock and see where we can go going forward.
Yeah, so you alluded to a practice that you'll have as a final kind of brush up and chance to prepare for that game, which occurs this Wednesday. But to put some more definition around the game itself, it will take place at 6 p.m. at Gallaudet University this Saturday, April 23rd. You can come early, of course. We'll have some live music and a beer garden open prior to the game, so don't miss the first pool. And the other important thing about the game, and I was actually going to ask you about this as well, is this game is going to be broadcast on ESPN3. Does that add any dimension to, you know, how much you know you're being watched or something that's going on mentally in your head? Or even if it does, you know, how do you put that aside?
For me, it just adds to the excitement, really. I think, you know, a lot of the players, or at least me, I'm not familiar with playing on any sort of TV. And as those opportunities grow, right, it's just an opportunity to showcase the sport. So I think the only additional nerves I might have would be having the opportunity to showcase.
I mean, excitement or not, though, the one thing maybe excitement itself could be sometimes a dangerous thing. Like, you want to still maintain maybe that kind of level performance and play within yourself. I don't know. Is there something you tell yourself even to say, hey, I know I'm excited for this game. I know I'm showcasing the sport. I'm on ESPN3 here. But let's not throw the 40-yard hammer over the top, because maybe that I need to think about who I am, what I'm doing here.
Oh, you can definitely count on me to not be throwing the 40-yard hammer. But no, I think that's, you know, the game is on Saturday. I think my mentality is a really good Monday mentality. As we get closer to the game, you know, I'd be dialing in more to sort of my focus, my responsibility, my role, you know, sort of visualizing what's expected of me. And it's, you know, again, I think that, you know, Dutchie has this really core belief that the offense, when run correctly, and I agree too, it puts any defense in a nearly impossible situation to guard large quantities of the field by yourself. And so just getting that practice, getting that offense ready, this will certainly be a great challenge for us, and we're looking forward.
I wanted to talk a little bit, and maybe we're a little late in the professional season, but I think it is a series of lessons that are valuable to club players, amateur players all over the country, which is about how you treat your workout, how you treat your body in the off season. You want to give them a little of the Matt Kerrigan special sauce for preparing for your AUDL season. Was there anything particularly you worked on this offseason?
Sure, yeah. I think this year was one of the first off seasons, and I have to give a lot of credit to AJ, the strength and conditioning coach for the Breeze, yeah. More Performance for setting me up with the understanding and expectation that you have to get in the gym if you want to get more explosive.
Yeah.
So I've been hitting the gym a lot harder than any year previously in the off season, with sort of two goals in mind. One, right, it's always great to run faster, jump higher, be more explosive. For me, if anyone's ever seen me play,
many have.
if I turn sideways, I might disappear. And so over a long season,
classic offensive tactic.
It's incredibly valuable when the defender can no longer see you. But you know, just over the course of the season, trying to avoid those knocks, trying to avoid those nicks, those little injuries here and there, getting in the gym can, you know, hopefully prevent that.
Mitigate some of those things.
Exactly. So I've been in the gym working hard. Thanks, AJ, for all the great workouts.
Yeah, also a player, of course. You mentioned a strength coach, but...
Yes.
Yeah.
A man of many talents.
Yeah. You know, you're working on becoming more explosive. So if I can ascribe you the adjective explosive as one of your three adjectives, give me two more adjectives that tell me a little bit about who Matt Kerrigan is.
Sure, as a player?
As a player.
I wouldn't want explosive as a, you know, as a personality trait, but I'll take it as a player trait.
Yeah, right. Good clarification.
I think relentless. Someone who, when playing offense, is going to take his defender around the field, always setting up the next cut and the next cut until the defender can no longer stay with. I also think... Man, a third one.
No one said this podcast was going to be easy. Asking the hard-hitting questions here on Hot Air.
What's the opposite of being a risk-taker? I don't know, a game manager?
Yeah, conservative.
Conservative, I think, you know, I
playing within yourself?
Playing, yeah.
More words than maybe I'm allowing you?
Yeah, you know, knowing my range, knowing my role. I pride myself on keeping the disc, conserving the disc. As an O-line, it's hard to be broken if you don't turn it over.
Yeah.
Keeping the disc, conserving the disc, and moving it into spaces at the appropriate time, and knowing that I might not have that 40-yard hammer over the top.
Yeah.
But I do have, you know, a couple of ways to keep the disc moving quickly to throwers.
Got it. Very interesting. So, talked about the offseason there a little bit, and I alluded to this point earlier, and I wanted to come back to it. You know, to have those 500 fans behind you this past weekend, huge for a home game. We're hoping that the ESPN3 game this year, next weekend against the Rush, draws maybe even more than that. Talk to me a little bit, talk to the prospective fans that are going to be out at our game this Saturday about, you know, what that does to drive you as a player and the difference between being at home versus away.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
So first fans, and then maybe expand to home versus away.
Sure, and I can talk about fans that were there, and then prospective fans, if you don't mind, too, because I got, you know, a little bit of my own plug, a little bit of my own story that
good.
You know, but, I mean, it was absolutely great, right? I woke up on that Sunday, I think there was a frost warning, right? I'm thinking to myself,
yeah,
what kind of turnout are we going to get on a Sunday?
Yeah,
it's chilly. It turned out to be a beautiful day, obviously, and the stands were absolutely packed.
Yeah.
Made
all the difference that day, actually, if I have a little diatribe here. Being in the shade was, like, chilly and not great, but the stands themselves are east-facing, so as we're getting to mid-afternoon, the sun's directly overhead, beautiful.
Yeah, and you know...
That's your weather forecast. I'm Greg Esser, here's Hot Air.
Yeah, what's the weather forecast for this weekend?
Forecast for this weekend, beautiful. I think it's like a high of like 78, maybe even, you know, DC is notorious for skipping right from spring to summer, and we are ready to do that. I think, yeah, the high might even be getting into the 80s, but I mean, that's certainly beautiful spectating weather, even if the players themselves might start to get a little hot.
Yeah, and, you know, those fans, you know, I appreciated, you know, they're cheering. You know, I particularly remember, right, we had the American ladies team out cheering for Rowan anytime he caught
American,
it. We had
American University, of course.
Yes, we had just fans.
Just a bunch of Americans were there.
just that, yeah, weird. There was just a Brad Scott fan section, which I don't know if they're season ticket holders, but they were chanting for more Brad.
They were.
And that's, you know, the great...
To tell you the truth, though, I think Brad Scott might actually slip them a little money to come out and support him so hard, though.
That wouldn't be surprising.
Right.
And it was great to have all those fans. I will say, probably some of the most important fans to me was... I don't know if you noticed the Disc Kids last weekend.
I did see the Disc Kids. Tell us more about them.
Well, they were... One of them is one of my students. I'm a fourth grade teacher. So, I plugged them to come on out. And so I had one of them come on out and a cousin joined her. And, you know, what I really appreciated was mom dropped them off, came back to pick them up. It was maybe the third, fourth quarter. She ends up sitting in the stands, you know, and she begins by telling me, oh, man, you know, I figure I just got to support, you know, her teacher. Yeah. But, you know, I started watching. I started actually really enjoying the game.
Yeah.
And, you know, for me, that was when, you know, it was just a good reminder that first-time fans, almost all of them that have come out that I've met personally, have had great experiences at the Breeze game. And this was just one more. I'm hoping we can add a couple hundred more this weekend, you know, touch those four digits. I know Austin had 1,200, 1,300 in their stands. There's no reason we can't be competing with the top. You know, Montreal has great home fans.
Yeah.
So hopefully we can start touching those kind of numbers and really bringing some home field advantage.
It's
for us.
True. You actually made me think of another story here. In terms of, I live just three short blocks from Gallaudet, where the Breeze play, and oftentimes I walk by some guys on the street, guys that I say hi to every day, but certainly know nothing about my interest in Ultimate and my involvement with the Breeze. And you know, they're what are you up to today? It's a beautiful Sunday. And I often plug the Breeze. I say, hey, I'm going over here to announce and participate in sometimes in Ultimate Frisbee. And one occasion last year, I had a couple extra tickets for a home game for a Philadelphia game against the Phoenix. And I told these guys, I was like, hey, you know, we last minute here. You want to walk over to the game and see it? They're like, oh, no, we don't know much about that Ultimate Frisbee. I think we'd feel out of place. And I said, well, we tell you what, we're playing against Philadelphia. And they were like, we hate Philadelphia. We're going. So they followed me over, and they heckled relentlessly. They didn't know the first thing about Ultimate, but didn't make a blink of difference. Yeah, they had a good time, and I think that's true of a lot of first-time fans.
Absolutely. That's a great, I just love that they're like, well, it's Philly. Oh, we got to go. We got to ruin their day.
They're probably like classic Redskins fans.
Yeah.
Okay, so cool. Anyway, that's awesome that you were able to bring out some more of your personal fans and that type of thing. Anything you want to say about kind of the crowd volume or the way that, you know, you as a player internalize it the best? If people want to get that most athletic play out of Matt Kerrigan, they can do the following. Some instructive fan guide here.
I will say...
I offered to Agan last week that maybe people should just blow up a big picture of his face in the audience. Is that something that would get you?
Well, I will say probably my best performance came in Ottawa last year, and they had these huge horse heads, right? They're the Ottawa Outlaws. So
right.
They had this blown-up horse head. So I'm trying to... I'm trying to figure out what would be the corollary for the Breeze.
Yeah.
A Breeze head or... we'll have to.
If there's like a cheese head for like the Green Bay Packers, it at least seems to rhyme with the Breeze head. And I don't, again, yeah, I think you're right. Like, I don't know what you would depict. Maybe you just go like completely, you know, out in left field. Yeah, we're the DC Breeze, but like representing Washington, DC, it should just be a giant blow up picture of the Constitution.
Bill of Rights.
Yeah, yeah. Just. Bill of Rights, but like redone for Ultimate. Like, you will provide this much disc space. You will deliver the disc within 7 seconds. You will make deep cuts followed by undercuts.
Yeah, no, at least for any Canadian themed games, I'd love to see some Justin Trudeau blow ups.
Oh yeah,
you know? I think that'd be a crowd pleaser.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And himself, this new recently elected Prime Minister of Canada, an Ultimate fan, or at least, you know, at one point in time he dabbled, I guess.
Right, yeah. So,
so that'd be fitting on so many levels.
Yeah, you know, I saw the mayor of Charlotte tweeting about the Express game, so no reason we can't get a little love from the Prime Minister.
Yeah, we got to get Muriel Bowser out here to a game, maybe.
That's right, growing the fan base.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. Last thing I wanted to talk about, actually, I won't even say last thing, because I'm going to let you just talk about whatever you want at a certain point. But the last thing I wanted to make sure we got to today was a team that you've been involved with, you're involved with to this very day, but certainly you were a member of this team in the past, and I am now involved with it, being brought in as a non-alum, and that is the Georgetown Ultimate team. Had a very successful weekend this past weekend at conferences. They won the thing.
They did.
Up at UMBC, and you were there. So you wanna talk just a little bit about that?
Sure. Yeah, well, Catholic Justice, that's the nickname for the Georgetown team.
Strong name, Catholic Justice.
Yeah, fits with the Jesuit ideals of the university. Had a really great weekend up at conferences. Now, I should plug right now, for all of them who may tune in for this part of the podcast, that means nothing. Regionals are in 2 weeks.
That's So get back to work.
So get back to work, exactly. No more celebrating this conference win, but it was a great conference win. It was great to see a couple of the Breeze guys. Nico Lake, current player.
Yep.
Troy Holland played 2014.
Last year he played.
2015.
Yep. But they also went against a couple other programs that have big Breeze studs on them too. So be diplomatic and tell me, you know, how those games went for Catholic Justice.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, Maryland had a couple, you know, they got Max Castle. George Washington's got Tyler Monroe, yep. Kyle Johnson.
That's right.
But what really shined was the depth of the program, you know, guys who are not at the pro level, but just the depth of the D line.
Yeah, a bunch of teams there have, I think the big studs, but maybe you're right, as they've done a great job developing a lot of players at Georgetown this year.
Yeah, no, I think it's been a really great thing to watch. I'm involved only in so much that the seniors were around when they were my freshman class.
Okay.
So I sort of stay in touch as someone, someone they can turn to, a mentor or advisor when needed.
Oh, but you also came to a practice here and I thought taught like a unique cutting skill set that was foreign to many of the guys. So, I mean, I think you're underselling yourself a little bit.
They've done a great job. Obviously, Glenn Poole, Breeze 2015, is their coach this year.
13 and 15.
Mike Malloy is coaching, as you, Greg. So I think they're in pretty good hands. But it was just really fun, you know, obviously going back to watch and watching them really put on a pretty tremendous performance against Maryland, against George Washington in the finals. Doesn't mean much if you have your best day of the weekend, best day of the year at conferences and not at regionals. And I know the regional will be very talented, you know, UNC, UNCW, you know, all that. But it's, you know, it is a step in the right direction. You'd rather win conferences than the alternative, especially playing those that terrible backdoor second place, third place game after the finals. So I know they're very happy and
rightfully so.
Happy for them, yeah.
Good. Okay, well, with that said, I'm gonna say, hey, we just talked a while on Hot Air. Is there anything ultimate, not ultimate related, about that fledgling osprey that you rescued from the nest last week, or you know, whatever it may be? I'm making it up now, but I'm gonna hand you over the mic and I'm gonna close my ears.
Sure. Unfortunately, I think I'm gonna bore you with this part. May need to get cut. I work best with, you know, I can't throw a hammer 40
Ooh,
yards, right?
Wow.
I need a continuation cutter, someone to play off of.
Okay.
But no, you know, I'm really excited for this season. I think, you know, the great challenge will be how well can we mesh all together, you know, bring that chemistry all together, pick up Dutchie's offense and put it all together in a package that's ready to go both this Saturday and through the entire year. It'll be great to watch how this team grows through the entire year. I think we still have a lot to grow as we watch that film on from Saturday. You know, some things definitely stuck out that we know we need to put in our work on. But thanks so much for having me, Greg.
Great.
It was a fun time. I enjoyed it.
The memories we've made here today.
Yeah, and now I'm... Now it must be, you know, 40th or 50th back on, you know, at the bottom of the list. I assume you just have a cycling list of...
Well, you know what? Based on fan reviews on Twitter to either at the DC Breeze or at the Greg Esser, you could, you know, make leaps and bounds and, you know, not get kicked to the back of the list, but, you know, constantly be recycled. You could be a reoccurring guest.
Well, don't tweet that too actively, because I know some of my Twitter followers will.
You've got some mega fans. I should have said this at the beginning. Actually, one of the reasons you're on here, despite being a two-time player, is mega fans that have tweeted at me. You know, saying we want to hear that rich and compelling voice of Matt Kerrigan.
Mega fans or mega trolls? It's still to be determined. But we'll hope fans.
Yeah. Okay. Well, perfect. Anyway, thanks for coming on for sure. And to everyone out there in podcast land, adios, and I will probably talk to you in 2 short weeks with Sarah Ito. She'll be the next guest on the podcast, and we will discuss the exciting game that will be against the Toronto Rush.